Hey everybody, it's Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show. And before we get to this next video, I just wanted to tell you that if you are looking for a way to make some money, to get yourself into the green, get out of the red, hook up with me. It's very, very, very simple. Just go to attaboy.com, ATABOY.com, and I will show you how to make some money with a low investment. And it's something I'm doing myself. It's not something I'm just hawking. So do it today. Hyperfund is the place. And again, attaboy.com. You can watch a little video that I've put together for you. You can watch some other videos there, and you can learn for yourself how to get yourself some cash. So let's do it, okay? All right, here's the video you actually came to see.
All right, welcome to another episode of Aftershocks at AftershocksTV.com on the CMS Podcast Network. And on this episode today, we got a couple of fellas coming to us from the Magnolia State, Mississippi. We got Daniel and Kenny from Blues Rock Outfit Royal Horses. Guys, thanks so much for coming on. How you guys doing?
Doing great, man.
Doing good, man. Loving it.
Thank y'all for having us.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you guys for coming on. I mean, first off, I guess let's talk a bit about, and a lot of the audience, I should say, here to get a bit of a background of you guys, of the band. I know you guys recently, you just released your debut album. It's called A Modern Man's Way to Improve. Musically, you know, from what I'm hearing, I mean, it's got such a unique, even blend of, I'm hearing like 70s rock in here. I hear blues, rockabilly, Americana. It's got definitely Americana sort of overhead to it, a lot of the songs.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
It's very unique, man, different than your traditional, you know, just traditional Southern blues sound and style. So go ahead, I guess, guys, and briefly talk a bit about your guys' background in terms of how you wound up, you know, putting together such a mix of this kind of music that, you know, you don't hear too often. I mean, did it sort of emanate naturally when you guys sort of got together and jammed, or did you guys, you know, I guess, you know, put it together, you know, deliberately, you know, just because of the influences that you've had over the years?
I really don't think much of it was very deliberate. I think it's just kind of what came out. Shelby, our front man and guitar player, when we first started jamming, you know, it was some of his old material, really, when we started. It was kind of folksy type of things. And you know, with the upright bass, it was definitely more of a kind of old school rockabilly kind of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, Daniel adding him into the mix a couple of weeks after we started jamming, it really like took shape into more of a...
Turned more rock and roll, that's for sure.
It turned more rock and roll, man. And we've just kind of grown from that. And it's really, I don't think we've ever sat down and tried to record or write a song to sound like something in particular. It's just kind of definitely the big melting pot of music out of Mississippi. The heritage is so rich here.
You
know, home of the blues, home of country, home of rock and roll, and just taking advantage of all that. You know, that's just what we grew up on, 70s rock. You know, it's just what comes out.
Yeah, we all definitely had an interest in the classics. You know, there's a radio station here with even one of our buddies is one of the DJs and stuff. That we just all grew up listening to classic rock and roll. So that, and then blues was just a part of Mississippi altogether. And then in New Orleans, right, you know, an hour and a half away from us, we've got the jazz, you know, capital there too. So too scared to dip my toes in that. Got that much. So we stay away from that. You know?
I play jazz sometimes, just not on purpose.
That's right. But we have everything, and we're a melting pot. And Shelby will say, "Man, I really wanted to play this song," and both of us just kind of can remember it from just listening to it all our lives. So it's cool.
Yeah, really, man. Well, the one track that sticks out to me that I really dig a lot is "Rattlesnake Smoking a Cigarette." And I definitely encourage all our blues rock fans in the audience here to check out that song. I mean, it's definitely a little bit different too than the rest of the songs on the record. So I guess give us a backstory on that song and what's that about? Because I mean, in my opinion, that one really sticks out on you know, the record's a bit of a departure from some of the other tracks on there.
why it sticks out is because he's the one that sings on it, and this is
okay. That's the only one I sing on. But yeah. And yeah. Hey, Kenny sings on that one too.
I do. I scream on it.
He's screaming in the background.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
But
that song, it developed during a rehearsal. To be honest, the riff Kenny was playing one day, just kind of warming up before rehearsal, honestly was like, to me, it sounded, I told him, I said, that sounds like a rattlesnake smoking a cigarette. Shelby leaned over, you know, was like, hey, you need to write that song. So I spent the next, who knows how long, actually, trying to write that song and just telling a goofy story, and it includes all of us in that story. Yeah, kind of, there's built a lot on of, fiction, but
a lot of little inside jokes on that one.
Yeah,
okay.
And, but it talks about going to you know, like a brothel or something like that in the Arizona desert.
Brothel, okay.
Good choice of words, right? But yeah, and then the kid or the main character or whatever sees something he can't handle in that lineup and chooses that one, and then all the screaming and turn into a man. It's pretty cool though. I'm glad you liked it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great song. You know, we recently did an interview with another Mississippi blues band called Magnolia Bayou.
Oh yeah,
they're good friends.
Cool guys. You
know, no, those guys cool.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, and they, you know, they got that blues sound too. Well, definitely theirs is more of like a soulful twist, where I feel like you guys, you've definitely got more of a dirtier and swampier vibe to your sound.
Yeah.
You know?
Swampy is their term, so we can't use that one, but it's dirty. It's
dirty, sure. Right.
We're dirty Mississippi band.
Hell yeah. So how are you guys able to sort of like incorporate, you know, all those different sounds and influences into your music without it sounding like forced to, you know, to the point where you don't know what to make of it? Because it's really, I mean, in my opinion, it's hard to take, you know, all those styles that we just talked about and really give it that edgy and that dirty, gritty, you know, spin to it, when, you know, especially the genres like rockabilly and folk and Americana, really, you know, traditionally they're pretty much associated with more of a clean sound to them. So how do you guys pull that off?
Man, like I said, it's, I don't know how much of it is intentional. It's just kind of what happened. I think the scenario we have with the upright bass and the loud electric guitar and the drums, it's something that's pretty unique. Cause a lot of times, you know, we've missed on some bookings before cause they see an upright bass in our promo and they're like, oh, this band's going to be, you know, soft country style stuff, but no, it's straight rock and roll.
Remember we play a 3-hour, 4-hour show and on Bill, you know, or Dolphin Street or something like that.
Yeah. So I think that brings, not trying to toot my horn or anything, but you know, the upright bass in itself brings a lot of those elements in that you wouldn't normally hear with just, you know, a 3-piece with an electric bass and electric guitar, you know.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. You know, I listening to the record, the one thing that stuck out to me, and I'm not comparing you sound-wise to this band, but I'm comparing you in the situation, reminds me a lot of the very early 90s when the Black Crowes came up.
We've heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't fit with what's necessarily going on, but it has its own flavor that might create... It almost seems like you guys are creating a style that is either going to fizzle in a minute, or it's going to get you that cult following that people will follow forever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious for you guys. Do you, I know you, like you just said, you've heard that before. Does that guide you to keep it loose, or does that guide you to kind of thinking about, you know, when you write music now to kind of keep it in the same vein of what you've already created?
Man, honestly, when we get to writing and putting together songs, Shelby will usually show up with some sort of bass or some sort of
skeleton
of a song, and then it just kind of comes together naturally. You know, we definitely didn't want to pick a genre, you know, because we have Valley of the New is kind of a very country sounding song. But we weren't like, hey, let's write a country song. Like when we got finished with the song, we turned to each other like, hey, yeah, that was a country song, you know. But and it's just the natural sounds that we hear when we play together. I think that's, you know, you like Kenny says, the bass is unique in itself, to where if he's going to thump something one way, it can definitely have a rockabilly feel, or he can slow it down and we can turn it into something like Led Zeppelin sounding. So it's just the space is there. And so we're reaching out and grabbing all that we can, you know. It's really just the love of music and what sounds right while we're playing it.
Yeah, I agree. But I will say, like, you know, in stuff that we've recorded since that album, we've definitely not necessarily focused on genre norms or anything like that, but we did a little project in Denver with Color Red Studios, and we actually have a single coming out tomorrow. I don't know when this will air, but January 29th, we have a single coming out from them. We went into that specifically trying to make it really raw sounding, not necessarily like genre based, but you know, we were recording live and straight to tape, and we didn't know the songs. We were writing songs as we were going there, so we wanted it to be really loose and you know, raw, just as raw as we can get, trashy sounding. So we achieved that, man. So we definitely think about things like that for sure, and different sounds. But as far as our sound, it's just what happens, you know.
Right. It's still defining itself, right?
It is. Maybe, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it as any band that evolves, that changes. You know, I think from record to record, and song to song sometimes. Yeah, I think the original album was more of a song to song kind of thing, because we were a new band and we were putting together a lot of different material and trying to find our way. I think as we grow and record more projects, we actually have another sophomore album we've recorded, and I'd say it's probably a little more focused on the Americana side, but not intentionally. Just it was written in a tighter time frame than the first album was.
Sure.
So I think we're always changing, you know.
Very good. Well, and one of the things that I do notice, you know, from listening to this album anyway, is that unlike so many bands, I think you guys individually are changing from song to song, as well as, you know, creatively as a group. I'll point to a song like Who Do You Know, which the guitar sound, you know, I was telling Matt before we started, to me is ripped right from ZZ Top's Just Got Paid type of a.
We're big Top fans.
I can definitely tell. And it's, you know, it's interesting, the guitar changes from song to song, and obviously with the stand-up bass, I don't know that the stand-up bass changes from song to song as much as it's just such a different sound than the 940,000 other bands that I hear, that it gives it a unique vibe. So, you know, do you guys individually write parts and bring them? Or do you guys kind of jam, and the sounds that you're creating from moment to moment create the songs?
I think most of them start out as a jam, as like trying different little sound, different things. Even while we're playing gigs, you know, we tend to space out a lot of time into songs and try different things, you know, really explore a sound. So most of now most of it would come from a jam that we say, hey, that's something we can work with. And then we start working on our individual parts and building to, you know, to one thing.
I hate the term, but I mean, we are a jam band. Whenever we play a live show and we come in with a song that's new, we figure that out on stage often. You know, we just kind of even stuff like from this album that we recorded before, we try to add a lot of space in there, and we're not scared to do an 8-minute version of something, you know? We try to do that a lot. It makes it a lot more interesting for us, and I think for people listening too. But I think a lot of songs evolve that way in rehearsal and in our live performance. You know, they take on a new tone sometimes, and before we get to the studio, and that's how it works.
True. Yeah.
I'm curious real quick, how many of these songs that are on this album sound nothing like they sound on this album when you play them live?
They've definitely, I mean,
they're pretty close for the most part. Like most of the guitar solos are probably three times as long now to include like a run for the bass or, you know, something like that. But the meat of the songs for the most part are all pretty much the same. Okay. We do like to keep some things, I guess, pretty standard. Like if luckily we're just with our location, we actually get to play a pretty good bit. And so when somebody yells one of your songs out there, we kind of want to play it for them, and then we'll spice it up with adding a solo, things like that. But it's really neat to try new things. But our originals, I think we keep pretty close.
Yeah, I feel like we keep the definite feel of the song and the sound of the song, just adding, you know, extra stuff to it here and there. There have been some small changes here and there for the live show, but I feel like we are a band that if you were to come see live, we would sound like we sound on that record, which is something that I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome. You know, that, you know, guys, I mean, it's not, you know, every day we see, you know, rock bands from Mississippi that go out there and make a big splash, you know, especially domestically. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, there's countless blues legends over the years, that, you know, the Howlin' Wolves and Robert Johnsons that are all from there. But also, you know, I mean, I would say the only bands I could think of really domestically that I, you know, rock bands that have, you know, been successful or have toured and, you know, gotten big record deals and so forth are like Three Doors Down and Blind Melon. Those are two I don't come to my, and then Bishop Gunn, I know, was another one who had a nice run too, as well. So how does a band like you guys from Mississippi, how do you go about changing? I mean, does it mean that you mentioned earlier, obviously, New Orleans is only an hour and a half away. And that's usually, I know the circuits down there, you got Atlanta and New Orleans. Those are usually the big spots. Yeah. So, I mean, is it something, are you guys going to maybe go outside of those circles in order to expand your reach? Is that something you guys are looking to possibly do in the future?
We're definitely, looking to get out of the Mississippi. You know, we want to hold true to where we're from for sure. And, you know, our accent may get a little thicker at times when we're far away from home to kind of, you know, juice it up a little for them, you know, sound like from Mississippi. But we've played out in Colorado and really all over kind of the Midwest, getting back home and going out there. And we're looking to expand, but we'll wave the Mississippi flag with us the whole way, especially the new one. So every time we cross the state line, I'm like, yes, when we get back home, you know. Yeah. But as far out as we can go, we're planning on going.
Yeah, and I'll say, I definitely agree with you. It doesn't, even though the state has such a rich heritage in music, in recent years, you know, last 10, 20 years, there's not a lot that's really kind of broken out of here. Mm-hmm. I think I really feel that changing, though. I think there are a lot of great bands right now, and I think the appreciation for Southern rock music is kind of like having a bit of a resurgence now. And if we can ever get out of this current situation that we're in now and bands are able to go out and perform live a lot more, you know, I think it's going to swell. I really do believe.
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that kind of rock is coming back in. And what I was wondering is also, you know, in terms of what's your guys' take in terms of how, you know, your type of music is relevant like this day and age with the younger generation of music fans. I mean, so I guess, for instance, do you see like a lot of the millennial kids in the Mississippi area, the younger generation of music fans, are they continuing to latch on this kind of music? Did it ever like sort of go away, you know, around where you guys are from? Is it more of a nostalgia thing? I mean, is it something that you really think, like, not just obviously, you know, older music fans like ourselves will like, but do you think a lot of the younger kids, are they taking to this kind of sound that's coming out of Mississippi right now?
I hope so, man. It's hard to say. We do see a lot of younger people out at shows, and that's a great thing. I think that that's something that's always changing too. We actually have I was just talking today, we have a college radio station in town that was really great. They played a lot of local music and a lot of blues, rock kind of stuff and Americana. And they've recently changed their format to more of a pop thing. which I get that that fits the younger, it's younger music, of course, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want, I've never felt that as a young person. I don't remember ever. Maybe I did and didn't know it, but you know, there's just great music is great music. It never goes away. Right. Mm-hmm. Those sounds are, you know, they're there for a reason that, you know, people, I feel like a lot of kids still do latch on to rock and roll and mm-hmm. just that classic sound, fingers crossed, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, definitely.
And,
yeah.
And it's the perfect time for you guys too, because there are bands that are breaking out, whether it's Rival Sons or Dirty Honey or Greta Van Fleet or whatnot. You know, not that any of them sound like you guys. I don't think anybody really sounds exactly like you guys, but
thank you.
It's that element. It's those elements that they bring that's just bringing that whole 70s, I would say 76 to 82 ish sound back, you know, which is in my opinion, as far as rock goes, like I'm more of a metal guy, but as far as rock goes, that was the premier time for rock. That's when the experimental phase of Led Zeppelin, as an example, was so well received right at that time. And that's kind of what, in a weird way, I think when I listen to you guys, you're not defined like AC/DC, where every song, you know, I know the song before I've heard the song, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have a nice mix of different things. And I'm sure some of that is probably learning yourselves as a creative band too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can thank Led Zeppelin for a lot of that too, though, because we're all really big Led Zeppelin fans. And we've actually done tribute shows and stuff of that nature for, you know, and I see what you're saying about that. They did kind of go through that period of they really expanded their sound and branched out to a lot of different areas. And that's a great comparison that I've never thought of before. But, you know, that's hopefully some of that comes from that, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, the name of the album, I'm going to remind our fans one more time, is called A Modern Man's Way to Improve. It is fantastic. It is definitely not your standard cookie cutter rock record. So,
yeah, there's some heart in there.
Yeah. Yes.
Bad tunes too.
There's heart in rock and roll.
That's right.
Yeah. Still is, right?
It's definitely a dirty rock record, and it's something you should definitely check out. So, yeah. Guys, where should people go to keep up with you guys, you know, either online or to buy the record and all that good stuff?
Our website, royalhorsesband.com, is the first one we'd like y'all to check out for sure. That's where we got our merch, and we update all the shows and new events there. And then just Facebook and Instagram, really. I think we have a Twitter, but
we're terrible at
Facebook's
the go-to. Instagram's pretty good.
Like to make it in music now, I think you got to have a social media degree. So, totally. Which we're horrible at, but we're getting better, and we're always good about trying to get our music out there or our live shows out there, so people know where to come see us, because we really enjoy the live shows. You know, just
absolutely
hanging out and. Where our area is pretty supportive of that. So that's cool.
Yeah. And for sure, all the streaming sites,
Spotify,
Apple, iTunes. All that fun stuff. So,
I did see it. You guys were playing some shows coming up. Is that still happening?
We do, man. Things are, where are you guys located at?
I'm out in California and Chris is in Cleveland.
Yep. Yeah. It's way different down here, man. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but, you know, across the Mississippi and Alabama coastal areas, especially, it's opened up a lot more in recent months. And there's still a lot of venues that are closed and not doing live music. But there's, you know, events definitely have changed. Most everything's outside and things of that nature. But we are fortunate to have the opportunity to play music for people again.
That's awesome, great. Man. I'm jealous for you guys.
I'll come hang out sometime.
Take a trip to Mississippi. I know.
It's already warm here, so you know.
Yeah, nice. Always warm here.
Well, guys, again, one more time, the name of the band is Royal Horses. The name of the album is A Modern Man's Way to Improve. And guys, thanks so much for coming on to Aftershocks.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. This was fun.
Awesome. Take care, guys. Really appreciate it.
Sorry for being late.
Oh, it's all good.
All good, man. All good.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Aftershocks. For more episodes, go to our website at www.aftershockspodcast.com. Visit us on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for more news and information on the podcast. And be sure to subscribe, listen to, and review all episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other podcast platforms. For your music listening pleasure, visit our website or go to www.shockwavesradio.com. For all comments and questions, please email us at info@aftershockspodcast.com.
All right, everybody, another great interview right here on Aftershocks TV. And before we go, just want to remind you one more time, make sure you get over and subscribe to the CMS Podcast Network, cmspn.com. You can watch, you can listen, you can subscribe to everything that we do, not only us, but the Classic Metal Show, Shockwave Skull Sessions, Talk to Me. It's all there, one site, get four great shows, never have to do anything again but be entertained. So check it out, cmspn.com, cmspn.com, cmspn.com. Until next time, folks.